Welcome to the Fremont Presbyterian Church podcast. Here at Fremont, we create space for people to become lifelong followers of Jesus, and we relentlessly pursue his transformation of our neighborhood, our city, and the world. Here's today's message.
I want to welcome you to worship today, if you're watching online as well, as we begin this this series on the book of Jonah. We began it last week, and we're going slow through the first chapter, just a heads up. It'll speed up a little bit later, but there's so much in this that I think is worth slowing down for. And so one of the quintessential questions of the human condition is, where did this storm come from? Where did this calamity, where did this crisis, tragedy, whatever word we put to it, and we're going to find that Jonah, actually the book of Jonah, uses calamity and storm kind of interchangeably. Where did this storm come from? Who caused it? What caused it? Where is God in it? It's one of the questions that I think is true for every single one of us. Before we dive into that question, let me remind us of kind of where we've been so far in the book of Jonah. It's not far, but we are introduced to this book that it says that the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. And this is what God told Jonah to do, to go to the great city of Nineveh, preach against it, because the wickedness of that capital city of the Assyrian Empire, the wickedness has come up before the Lord. But we looked at this last week, but what Jonah did instead was run away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish, the other side of the world from Nineveh. So it says that he went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. And then it says this, then the Lord sent a great wind upon the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. This is God's word for us today. Thanks be to God. Now, the storm that we read about here in the book of Jonah is something that perhaps you and I have lived through. It's one of those rain, wind, hurricane force kind of wind storms. Anybody ever been in a storm like that, or tornado, anything like that? But I want to talk a little bit figuratively about the storms that come in our lives, but I think some definitions are important, right? Because I think that sometimes we can talk about things in our lives that are storms, and we're telling the story to someone else, and there's a quizzical look on their face like, that's not really a storm. Like, so let's just define some things here. So not finding a parking place, not a storm, okay? When you go to your favorite Starbucks and the nitro cold brew machine is broken, like always, not a storm. That happens to me like every time. But it's not a storm. For those of you that are in school, when your teacher gives you, or four teachers give you four tests on the same day, I'm sorry, not a storm. Really difficult, inconvenient, it's going to cause a lot of work and late nights and headaches. Not a storm. But what are storms? A diagnosis that you weren't expecting. That's a storm. A loss of a job that comes suddenly. That's a storm. When a relationship, a friendship that you have clung to is all of a sudden taken away, it's broken. That feels like a storm. How about a pandemic mixed with racial strife and political unrest and economic upheaval all at once? That, friends, is a storm. And we've been talking the last few months about the church in the midst of that. I've been using this language of the need for us to replant in the middle and coming out of that storm that I just mentioned, because storms uproot things, right? They uproot things, and I think that we are still living today with the effects of all those things that I just mentioned. And the question is how will we, what is God calling us to do to replant the church, a witness to his hope in the midst of all of the storm that we all have lived through? So, The text today says very clearly that God sent this storm. Some translations will actually use the language of God hurled a great wind. He threw a great wind upon the sea. So the actor is evident that it's God. So this brings up some necessary questions for us. What things does God send in our lives? What things does God send in our lives? Now, the Bible speaks of this idea of God being sovereign, a sovereign, a king, a ruler over all things. That God is in control. He has control over things. He's not surprised by the things of humanity or its powers. But the Bible also speaks of God allowing certain things to happen. And because of the far-reaching consequences of sin, the sin of the world, all of creation is broken. And as Romans says, creation even is longing for restoration and healing. Now, I'm going to be honest about something. I don't have time in 20 minutes. Start your clocks now if you'd like. I don't have time in 20 minutes to cover the ins and outs and the nuances of this doctrine called sovereignty. It is probably a class. It is probably worthy of discussion and questions. And what about this? And what about this? Is that and that? But I want this text today, and if you are reading along with us, this Tim Keller's book, he's the one that kind of calls out these couple of verses of God sending this storm. But I think it's clear that the Bible teaches us that God is still in control. Look at these words from a psalm, Psalm 135. It says this, that whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all deeps. He it is who makes the clouds rise at the end of the earth, who makes lightning for the rain and brings forth the wind from his storehouses. Book after book in the Bible speaks of God like this, in power over all creation, doing the things that he pleases. The Bible teaches that God is in control, ordaining and allowing certain things to pass. But I want to give us a warning here. Well, give us a warning here, because this idea, this doctrine, this truth requires careful handling. Let's not be quick to go here. So if something is happening in your life, to immediately go, well, God must be trying to teach me blank. Let's not play amateur armchair theologian with the events of our lives or the lives of somebody else. Be careful when someone comes to you and says, why do you think this is happening to me? Instead, the wiser course is compassion and kindness and not being quick to guess the mind of the Lord on all things. We're beginning a study that Dave Pack's going to be leading us on the book of Job. It's part of kind of colloquial phrases in our culture that talks about, hey, don't be like Job's friends. Because what did Job's friends do? They told him all the reasons why he was suffering. And God had some words for them at the end of the book, not to spoil it for you, but don't be like Job's friends. trying to always guess why God is doing certain things. And be careful with jumping to that in your life as well. How many of us have been able to identify with the fact that sometimes we don't know exactly why something happened until much, much, much later in our lives? We see the threads of our lives coming together at a certain point, and then we can make sense, but not fully, but we can make some sense of why God might have allowed certain things to happen. The Apostle Paul warns us in the book of Romans, who has really known the mind of the Lord? So let's be careful with this idea of us understanding completely the why of God's ways. Reformed scholar named John Tweedale said this, is that the appeal of this idea of sovereignty or providence is that it places each moment of our lives, the good, the bad, and everything in between, in bold relief against God's plan for all things. He goes on and says, we tell ourselves that God is in control, and yet we still struggle to connect the chaos of our lives with the certainty of God's design. And as finite and fallen creatures, we often fail to trust that God will guide, lead, and direct us according to his good and sovereign will. I like the honesty of this scholar in saying we tell ourselves that God is in control, but the honest truth is that we struggle to connect sometimes the chaos, the storms of our lives with God's good plan. There's a struggle there, and let's be honest about that. And it's important that he points out that we're finite and fallen. We do not see all the things that God sees. At the end of the day, what the failure is often trusting that God is still good. And God is still in control. Now, Tim Keller will point out in his book that storms come as a result of a couple of different things. And it's sin. So stay with me. This first part is not going to be pretty. That some storms do come as a result of our sin. We all know this to be true, right? We all know that this is true, that one action, one careless word, one instance of cheating, one lie, one indiscretion, if we've ever done any of those things, it launched us immediately into days, weeks, months, perhaps even years of trying to overcome what we did. There was cover-up, perhaps, getting caught. There were consequences, mistrust, trying to build back trust. We'd like to deny it. We'd like to justify it. But some storms are simply those of our own making. That's one of the reasons why storms come. Old Testament scholar Derek Kidner says this, that our sin sets up strains in the structure of life, which can only end in breakdown. Sin sets up strains in the structure of life, which can only end in breakdown. That word breakdown stuck with me in this past week. Our family got to spend a significant amount of money on our Chevy Express van. And one of the things that we led to us making the fix is that it was a brake issue. And we learned that if we did not address this brake issue, there could come a time when the whole braking system would fail. It's a good illustration of what happens when we break God's laws and commandments, right? It inevitably leads to breakdown. But let's also recognize this, that not every storm is the result of our actions, storms that come as a result of brokenness. Keller writes this in his book, that most often the storms of life come upon us not as a consequence of a particular sin, but as the unavoidable consequence of living in a fallen and troubled world. There are two things that are happening here. We hold these two truths in tension, that there are storms that do come as a result of our sin, our choices, our actions. And there are storms that we are subject to because we live in a fallen world. In either way, there will be storms. Now, if we know the story of Jonah, we know that the story is not about a storm, right? What's the story that we always think about with Jonah? The belly of the whale, right? We're going to learn there's a lot richer and deeper story than that. But we can look at this section of Jonah and say, well, that's not how the story ends. But let's remember this. Any of us that have ever been through a storm, like I mentioned, a diagnosis, a loss of a job, a loss of a relationship, anything like that, can say that if we had anybody come to us in the moment and say, hey, don't worry about it, God's in control. If we were honest, we may not have received that well in that moment. We knew it intellectually, but that's not what we needed. So when we're in the midst of it, we can't see often the next chapter or even the next verse. So my counsel to us is be compassionate, friends. Be compassionate and kind with our brothers and sisters in Christ, with our coworkers, our teammates, our classmates, our neighbors. When they're going through trouble, we might think we have this privileged view, but we do not see what they see or feel what they feel in that moment. The text says, and this stuck out to me, that the passage says that the storm arose and it threatened to break up the boat. It threatened to break up the boat. And one of the things I want to tell us is that sometimes the storm might threaten to break up the thing that we think is carrying us. Sometimes the storm comes and it threatens to break up the thing that we think is the thing that's carrying us. And so when the thing breaks that we thought was supposed to carry us, God can carry us. When the boat that we have been on, that we've been putting all of our weight into, that we've been sailing along the sea and we think that this is the thing that's carrying us, sometimes the storm comes and it breaks up that boat because God wants to show us that His grace, His mercy, His love is the boat that never breaks. So might we believe that the storm that we're going through is somehow God's mercy and grace? Might it be a reminder to us that we are not in control, that there is one who is, and that He rules the universe? The Bible teaches us and teaches us here that God sends things. And when God sends things, what happens? The Bible tells us that God sent Joseph into slavery in Egypt to prepare and provide for His people from a famine. God sent plagues to bring freedom from captivity. God sent a storm to steer Jonah. God sent an angel to shut the mouths of the lions in the lion's den for Daniel. God sent a whirlwind to speak to Job. God sent prophets time and time again to speak to His people to come back to Him. And the Apostle Paul reminds us that when the time had fully come, God sent His Son. God sent His Son. God sent his son into a storm of religious hypocrisy. God sent his son into a storm of a world empire. God sent his son into a storm where the poor in spirit longed, where the meek and those who mourned longed, where the peacemakers and the persecuted longed for a king. God sent his son to proclaim the kingdom of God, to declare forgiveness for all of us that have run away, to beat sin and death once and for all, and to proclaim the kingdom that will never be shaken. Friends, God sends things. May we trust that when he does, he is good and gracious and longs to give us life. Today, we are reminded as we come to this table, we are reminded that this table represents that storm that Jesus endured for you and for me. The pain of the cross that led to Easter morning and resurrection was a storm that you and I could never undertake, could never endure. But he endured it so that you and I might be restored to the Father and given new life. Whatever storm you might be in right now, I pray that the taste of this bread and the drink from the cup might be provisions for that journey, to taste and see that the Lord indeed is good and that his love endures forever.
You've been listening to the Fremont Presbyterian Church podcast. For more information about our church, visit fremontpress.org. We'd love for you to join us on Sunday mornings. Our service times are 9 a.m. in the sanctuary for classic worship and 10:30 a.m. in the Community Life Center for modern worship. You can catch the live stream of both services at fremontpress.org. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast to get the latest episode each week. Thanks for listening.